Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew back from high school used Facebook the way they wanted to, which was posting stuff that was absolute crap. And I used Facebook for what I wanted to, which was to correct crap. And they didn't like that. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm your host. I am known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under that name pretty much anywhere, everywhere. It's scary. Just don't Google that. You really don't want to be doing that. And just to piss off somebody, yes, Shujin Tribble, that's my nickname. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York. I am an unabashed atheist, dabbling with Pastafarianism because I'm Italian, so it's kind of a thing. I'm surprised there aren't more Pastafarians in Italy, but we'll come back to that later.
I'm a member of the subsect Linguism.
Well, you know what? That's all well and good for me to do that. Play Super Nintendo. We've got a truncated group at the moment, and it's okay. We've got a bunch of reasons for that. We'll come back to that for you guys in a moment. Starting north of the border into Canada, Ontario. Good morning, heretic woman. You've got a much better looking scroll for yourself right now. That looks great.
Thank you. I've been tweaking, you know. I found out that the little icons of the thumbnails, it was like crimping my scrolling style, so had to adjust.
Looks good.
This is a lot easier to read, by the way.
Well, see, I was asking for feedback and nobody told me last time, so meh. But anyway, and those of you who are... You didn't tell me the red didn't work. You said the red worked, so meh.
So?
Were you asking for honest feedback or just feedback?
Guys, let me talk.
So, if you're listening later and not actually looking at the video, I have a lovely ticker scrolling across the bottom of my screen listing all of the Twitter feeds for my various shows, which I will recap at the end of this evening. But to start with, I am in Ontario, Canada. I was raised in the United Church of Canada, which is pretty liberal, all things considered. But then, you know, we all do stupid things as teenagers, and my stupid thing was to join a Calvinist sect. I really don't recommend it. So did that for a few years, but I've now been an atheist for 17 years and much happier that way. Highly recommend it. And now I try to be an obnoxious pest to anyone who thinks that religion and theocracy is a good idea.
Moving to the south of me into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Joey.
Oh, is it my turn yet? Damn it, everybody's gone.
Hi, everybody. My name is Joe.
I love the way you start that off. Hi.
Of course.
You sound like Peanut.
Gotta be class. Hi. Moving on. My name's Joe. I was born to an Irish Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois. I have spent 8 years in the United States military, and I am now living in Pittsburgh as an atheist and a graphic designer. And if you're wondering, I decided to be a little spiffy today. I even brushed my hair, put on a buttoned shirt, and I'm drinking grape juice. Well, it was grape juice.
It's the blood of Christ now, is that it?
Fermented.
There's a short I need to show you later. But I'm not too classy. It isn't a plastic cup.
Yes, but it's a clear plastic cup as opposed to a red Solo. And yes, that's a complete dead ringer for our earless feeder, Tao, over at Feline Conspiracy. Hi, Tao. Yeah, you'll never see this. It doesn't much matter. Moving to the right on the map, into the shadow of DC, otherwise known as Da Capitol. Good morning, Unrenowned Tech.
Good morning. In honor of the latest scathing atheist episode, I am currently enjoying my Fritos scoops with some spinach and cheese dip. Heath, yeah, you gotta tune in, man. Ow. My name's Unrenowned Tech. I'm currently in Southern Maryland. I grew up in a mixed religious background, and after a lot of time and energy and misspent praying, I realized it's all a bunch of bull honky.
Thank you. That's I'll tell you why that's really funny in just a couple of moments. And moving across the water, over to France. Good morning, Joseph.
Hi.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Name's Joseph. I'm originally from London, Ontario, Canada. And I moved here around 20 years ago. And I'm doing everything I can to promote critical thought and skepticism.
Very good. All right, so before I get into a couple of pieces, of course, if you're watching live with us right now, one of four, which is, you know what? I don't care. I'll do the stream for nobody. I'll do it for a packed house, man. I would love to have, you know, double digits. I'm pretty sure we all would. You know, more viewers than we have people on the air. That would be great. You know, one of these days, we'll see. But, of course, those of you that are watching who are part of the crap crew, thank you very much. If you are watching live, of course, please feel free to take advantage of the question and answer system on the side of the screen for yourself. We'll be more than happy to check in with you guys and see what you've got. In this case, currently, we have a couple of items over there. John, thank you. We'll get to you momentarily. Joshy, good to see you. Mwah. And Katie, hi. We see you over there. We know Ms. Ashley is out there somewhere, so hi, y'all. And, you know, we'll pick on you guys later. Part of the reason why I was laughing is because I had, just yesterday, I recorded the Imaginary Friends Show Don't Kill Podcasts 289 and 300 episodes. And 289, I don't want to tell you if I won or if I lost, but I will go as far as to say that Ross Balcher from one of the Australian groups is not allowed to be on a team with me ever again. There's a reason. When 289 comes down and you listen to it, you will find out why. And Ross, you're great. You're a great person to have on my team. Thank you so much, or me on yours. Never again. No, never again. Just you, yeah, you know what you did. And everybody else will know what you did, too. Thanks so much. If you're not already following the Imaginary Friends Show Dokum podcast, you really should be doing that. So anyway, we'll come back to that in a little bit. Let me get everything started over here with 5 minutes on the clock with apologies to Noah, Heath, and Lucinda, the Scathing Atheist. Your five-minute freestyle starts here. Now, the title of it, for those of you that were paying attention to it, was Moses was on ABC in the 80s? Yeah. I'm not going to quote chapter and verse, and I may end up cutting this five-minute freestyle short just because of that, but I would like to direct you back to the Bible. Of course, imagine that. Genesis. Who wrote Genesis? Nobody really knows, because it's third person, and at the time that Genesis was happening, there was only one, according to the story. So we'll come back to that in a minute. But you go along, and you've got the story of Moses, and okay, you know, whoever it was that wrote Moses' story could have been Moses himself, according to some scholars, or people, whatever, it doesn't matter. But if you go through the story of Exodus, leading up to it especially, God, according to the story, tells Moses what to do. Take your staff and throw it on the ground. It will turn into a serpent, and it will prove that I am the Lord your God. I am the most holy and the most powerful, and I've got the greatest magic tricks. Don't look the man behind the curtain. Okay, that's all well and good. And we know the story for the most part. You know, Moses throws it down. Boom. Okay, staff turns into snake. Okay, well, we can do that too. Boom. All right. Oh, you ate all of ours. Okay. Good trick. Yeah, GG, good game. Okay, that's good. Sorry, Pharaoh. We don't know that one. Okay, whatever. But God told him what to do. Okay. So, you know, you go out there a little bit later. There's the thing about, you know, the blood on the door. You know, do that so that, you know, all the stuff that's going to kill everything, it doesn't come in. You know, tell everybody that you've got that power, and that's what is going to have happen. Okay, sure, yeah, whatever, okay. And then, of course, we know full well, you go off to the go off to the desert, and you want to get away from Pharaoh and his forces that are going to follow you with the horses that have been killed 6 times already because of the plagues and the Red River and the stuff. Okay, whatever. And God says, stretch out your hand, and the seas will part for you, and you will be able to march your people along and get them out of there, and then we'll kill everybody that falls inside. I don't know that anybody is really picking up on this yet, so I will just go as far as to say, it sounds to me like Moses, for all of the magical powers that he was imbued with, was running on a wing and a prayer. Moses was the original, the prototype for the early 80s TV show, The Greatest American Hero. Do you remember what the plot was? Guy got himself a magical suit with superpowers that he would be able to control if only he would read the manual. Oh, he dropped the manual in the desert twice. As a matter of fact, I think 3 times maybe. But the instruction manual was God. Moses was the one who had all the power. He was the one who had all the magic to him. He just didn't understand how to use it. He didn't know. He could have had x-ray vision. Don't know. Nobody knew anything about x-rays at the time, so oops. And what else do I have to bolster this with? Who ended up writing Genesis? That's supposed to be Moses, according to some. And all of these magical powers, who was telling him what to do? According to them, the instruction manual is God telling him, throw your staff down and the seas will part for you. And what more do I have for this? Who wrote about Moses' death and all of the pomp and circumstance that happened around it afterwards? According to some who studied the book, supposedly, Moses did. So I ask you, if you were going to go ahead and write this story in the modern day, a guy who's got magic abilities given to him by something that was above and beyond the scope of what he understood, and he needed help in trying to understand exactly what those powers were and how they were supposed to operate, it would be the teacher, Mr. Hinckley. It would be The Greatest American Hero. It would be a crap TV show because too many people got into the middle of it all. Oh, and by the way, they're looking at rebooting that. Not Moses. Greatest American Hero. At least I can believe in The Greatest American Hero. Even if the wig was god-awful. This is episode number 82 on the docket. Yes, 82. I'm losing track. I was looking at my notes from before. It was 81 before, and now it's 82. I'm starting to feel like Tom and Cecil from The Cognitive Dissonance. I have no idea what number I'm up to at this point. Those of you that know what I'm talking about, great. Mm-hmm. Why are you watching us? You should be listening to them.
By the way, that show is, I just came across that on, it was either Hulu or Netflix, like just the other night, and I was thinking, I should come back and look at that.
Yeah, the first season of which was actually decent. After the network got a hold of it and said, we want you to make it more kid-friendly, and we want more, you know, way to go for the team and save the world, and Kennelly was just like, no, I want to handle like the personal condition. I want, you know, the human condition. That's what I really want to concentrate on. Oh no. We want, you know, save the world kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Fine. And then it just whatever. But we'll talk.
If you really want to save the world, call Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Surprisingly good, fun movie. If a little scientifically inaccurate, I guess.
Well, scientifically inaccurate, but it was definitely fun in terms of entertainment purposes.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. So if you
I expect, when I go see The Martian, expect that to have a lot more scientific accuracy than the concept of a man shrinking down to the size of an ant.
Or less. But we'll right. Come back. Yeah.
We all know superheroes break physics.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, this cartoons, man. Cartoon physics. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, look at Superman. Yeah. There's not a material that I know of that could withstand what some of the things that he's done in the comic books. That man should have been flying around naked several times, you know?
You want to find out how badass Superman is? On YouTube, go find Screw Attack, and you will find their death battle. Death battle number two between Superman and Goku. And you watch the second one, and you will see just how
shit out of Goku.
Dude, it's not even funny. I'm not going to spoil it for
anybody. It's hilarious.
The reactions online have been wonderful. Anyway, let's get everything going over here. Heretic Woman, it is that time again. We are, of course, waiting for the great news that somebody has finally come across the water to join us here in the U.S. or Canada and such. And I'm guessing it's not the Pope, is it?
No. And Rafe is still in jail in Saudi Arabia, unfortunately, while, you know, the dude in the white dress is prancing around over here.
So at this time, as of the recording of the show, it has now been 3 years, 3 months, 10 days since Rafe Badawi was unjustly incarcerated for thought crime. Our hopes are still with you, and we're still waiting for you. Maybe we'll get to talk to you sometime, too. In any case, let's deal with a couple of see about this. I'm sorry, I had a personal question that came through on the Q&A, and Joshy is asking me to be signed into Skype. I didn't do that because I was having a little bit of sound issues 2 weeks ago while I was doing a DJ thing. My system went to complete black.
Ooh.
Which Ubuntu Linux isn't supposed to do that. It's not even a blue screen of death. It was just black. Not supposed to do that. And since then, I've been having a little bit of a problem with the sound system. I really don't want to completely rip everything apart and put it back together again, but I may need to do that. But
By the way, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Skype is coming back up, so if there's a thing that you, Peter Potamus, want to send over to me, sure, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, Tech.
And I send greetings out to the people who have shown up in our Q&A, John, Jess, and Katie. Hello from the crap crew.
Which in this case, that would be Joshy. That's okay. Remember that for later. And that is taken care of. Okay, so Skype is up and running. So, yes, if you'd like to send a message over to me, you can hit me on Skype under Shujin Tribble. You can tweet at me at Shujin Tribble, at Holy Crap TV, and we'll get things going over here. There was a question, which is from John, which I'm going to open us up with, because we'll get into that and we'll slide into the stuff that we've all got, because there's a lot of stuff that's been going on. And by the way, is it just me, or is my video like semi like tilted, or is that just me looking at it?
It looks fine to me.
You might have a kink neck. No. You are getting kind of old. Now you're kind of getting up there a little bit.
Hey.
Don't let me get hurt you. Anyway, John has asked.
Well, dude, you just turned what, 31 again?
Joey, was it 37?
29.
No.
29.
37?
29. 29 for women.
Yes, some people say 29.95 plus shipping and handling, whatever. John is asking.
That's for inflatable women.
Later. Quote, which should I put more faith in, money or society?
That's
actually a pretty good one, yeah.
It's pretty loaded.
It is, admittedly. It is very loaded. Because as we know full well from the Doomsdayers, which, by the way, tomorrow is that, like, apocalyptic moon thing.
Well, but the apocalypse was, like, 2 days ago or 3 days ago already.
No, I missed it.
Yes. No, there was one, like, on the 23rd already of September that's already done. And there's supposed to be another one on October 7th, and this is like a blood moon or something like that.
All right. First off, for the audience that doesn't know, A blood moon is just when you have a, my brain just farted. God damn it.
Excuse me. This is not the Imaginary Friend Show Dope Coom podcast, but I'd like you to not do that.
All right, humanity, damn it.
I'll take it.
Not do what?
God, fairy, damn it. Use the expletive.
Yeah, basically there is a supermoon that's happening, plus there is a lunar eclipse that's going to be happening. It's supposed to be really beautiful to look at, assuming that you've got clear enough skies to see it. I think that we will over here. And there's a whole bunch of semi-pseudo-scientific numerology mumbo-jumbo that people are saying.
That aside, there's three scientific significance, facts of significance with this lunar eclipse. Two of them you've mentioned. The third one, I forgot what it was. I had them all in my head because I was trying to explain it to my ex to encourage my son to go out and watch it tomorrow night, but I keep forgetting that is, you know, big words, not strong point. And this one, it's got three different things all happening at once is why everybody's making a big deal out of it. But if you're on the East Coast, that's going to be one of the best places to see it. It's supposed to start at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It's supposed to achieve full lunar eclipse status right around 10 o'clock p.m. It's supposed to hang on from anywhere from about till 10:45 to 11. So, yeah, if you can stay up that late on a Sunday night, look out your window and see the moon, you're in great shape. Just, you know, put on a warm coat or whatever you need, depending on the temperature where you are. Sit back, relax, and enjoy it.
Yeah, my little one really wants to see that. She wants to stay up at least part of the time to be able to see it. The sad part is it's a school night, so see how that plays out.
So according to what I have here, the and Joseph, I guess it's France's fault, the French foreign minister in May of 2014 said that we have 500 days to avoid climate chaos, which would have landed us on September 23rd, and conspiracy theorists were all saying that we were all going to be done then, but of course we're still here, so now it's either tomorrow or October 7th.
I'm going to make a scientific prediction.
Yes?
My scientific prediction is going to be based off of evidence. I predict that tomorrow the sun will rise on the eastern side of where I'm currently located, and the world will still exist.
I predict I'm going to have bacon with breakfast tomorrow. Yep. I'm going to go with that one.
I mean, I may not wake up tomorrow. I may die in my sleep. I don't know. But I predict the world will still be there tomorrow.
You know what?
You're probably right.
Yeah, I'm going to predict that I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and if I don't, you know what? Screw y'all. You can come and pick on me all you want at that point. I don't care.
What do you think we are, vultures?
Actually, what I would really like would be for the Klingon Defense Force to come down and announce me to Stovall Corps. Which would be such. Those of you that don't understand the reference right about now, you have absolutely no idea how damned funny that is. Seriously.
It's bloody funny.
It is. It is huge funny. Anyway, okay, so back to the question. I'm sorry. It happens this way once in a while. Which should we put more faith in, money or society? That depends on how you want to describe this, because if you have the doomsdayers, they're going to tell you money will be worthless, it won't be worth the paper that it's printed on, and all of the paper money that you got will be good for kindling only because, you know, the zombie outbreak, there's no society to accept your money, so why bother? So you should just trust in the people that you can put a bullet into their head of, oh, wait, that's everybody. And contrary to popular belief and, you know, Left 4 Dead 2, it doesn't matter what size handgun you've got, you don't have unlimited ammo. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way. Although I really wish it did. I really wish it did.
See, it's funny you should bring up those particular references, because there are two games of similar stock that I really do enjoy. Not just because of the nature of the game, but also the backstories.
And which two would those be?
And, you know, scratch your heads if you've never heard of them. One would be the Fallout series.
Never played.
For those of you who are not familiar, the games stretch back to the 90s, but the premise is... You remember how we had, like, that culture, that sci-fi culture in post-war America in the 50s, where, you know, it
Fuck
was
Rogers
very...
in the 24th century!
That, and the whole Leave It to Cleaverville, and the atomic cars and stuff like that. Well, the game takes that premise and says, what if that was the peak of our technological progress?
Oh yeah, it riffs on it big time.
And then, of course, there's a nuclear war, namely between the U.S. and China. The survivors end up developing, you know, certain societies, but the most common monetary unit. Bottle caps.
Yep. Huh. Like the guy who actually sent the manufacturer of the new Fallout over 3,000 bottle caps, and they were so impressed that he had saved them up, they sent him the game for free. Well, I guess it shouldn't be called for free, because he paid in bottle caps.
Yep.
The other game is similar. It's based on a book series out of Russia. It's called Metro 2033. Now, it doesn't have the campiness that that the Fallout series has, but it's kind of the same premise. You don't know what happened as far as the outside world goes. All you know is there was a nuclear war, and the survivors, at least in the Russian in Moscow area, survived by retreating into the metro, the subway system. And in that game, the monetary unit is bullets, namely military-grade bullets. You get two kinds of ammunition in the game. You have munitions that were made, you know, after the war in the subway, and
homemade.
They're grimy, they're cheap. But that's just your basic ammunition. Then you have the military-grade ammunition, which is, you know, pre-war, really good. But it's so good that people treat it like it's money. And all monetary transactions in the game take place using this. However, if you find yourself in a tight spot, you can actually load that ammunition into your weapon, and it does actually do more damage. It makes the weapons more reliable because the weapons are prone to jamming and such. And it's possible to literally start shooting your wallet at enemies in that game. And it's really, it's interesting. It's very thought provoking. I
can imagine that happening.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There's something to that. I mean, we need to really think of, well, Katie's put a good point over here, you know, define faith. Well, actually, before we even do that,
no.
Let's assume for the moment, and forgive me, that we're talking about it in terms of trust. I'd rather go with that because that's the way that the question feels. And if I've got it wrong, if I'm putting words in your mouth, I'm sorry about that. It's the way that I'm going with it right now. Trust, as far as to money, is something that is agreed upon. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole thing about currency is agreed upon. It's a grand delusion that everybody shares because everybody is just trusting that the whole thing, blah, 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 whatever. You know what? As a practicality, it's money. We use it. It's done. You don't even think about it because everybody uses it. Well, I'm not going to get into the philosophical debate about it because I've worked in a bank. I still have a problem with the idea of, look, we're selling money. That's what a loan is. What? No, don't screw with my mind like that. I hate. Anyway, can you tell I don't want to work in a bank again? Anyway, but the point of it is, it depends on how far out you really want to stretch it. I would tend to want to put my trust, faith trust, into society, into my fellow man, because I believe, and I say it as I believe, I can't prove, but I believe from my experience, generally speaking, as a rule, can you see all the caveats I'm putting onto this one?
You'd have to.
People want to do good instead of bad. Not evil. Good versus bad. I believe that people want to be more helpful than not. I believe that people want to be more advantageous for a group than not. Even if it's a small group, even if it's just their family, nuclear family even, which kind of ties back along with that. Sorry. But that's me. And maybe that's me projecting for how I would like to be. Because I haven't met enough people to really gauge how the rest of the 8 billion people are out there. Well, it's 8 billion and 600 million. You know, I don't even... There's probably somebody in China that I haven't met yet, so I can't speak for everybody out there. There's a couple of puppeteers that used to work on the Great Space Coaster that I probably haven't met yet either, but it's a whole other issue. Those of you that know that reference, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, Joseph. I thought you were about to say something.
No, I just said, well, they'll be there in 10 minutes.
Sure, yeah, okay. Go fast enough, yeah. All those lights turn blue after a little while, so whatever. Go fast enough. There's a traffic joke in there somewhere.
I haven't met them yet, but they're coming for lunch.
Yeah.
Why not? But as far as that goes, I mean, that's as far as I can take it. I'm going to trust people. When all is said and done, I'm going to trust people around me.
Well, you're closer to trusting other humans than any religious person is, because your how do you say, qualification for a human, it's just another human. It's not like it is for them, somebody who obeys the same rules as you.
Mm-hmm.
There's not that division.
Yeah, there is that, which it's a little annoying sometimes to really think about it. I mean, you know what? Maybe riff out of this just a couple of seconds, though. Maybe there's something different about the way that we think of society as people who have come through religion, who have had the opportunity of looking at what does religion say? And I'm using religion as a large generic term at the moment, because we could very easily delve into Satanism, the Church of Satan. Is that right? Yeah, the Church of Satan.
Well, there's a few denominations.
So yeah, I'm thinking of the ones that keep trying to put Baphomet up.
That's not the Church of Satan. That is Satanic Temple.
Satanic Temple. Thank you. So you know, we've had the opportunity of hearing a lot of what they've got to say, what various different denominations of Judaism have got to say, of Islam, of Christianity, lots of them for Christianity, and for some Buddhists, for some, a whole bunch of different ones. Maybe we've got a different perspective because we've had a better opportunity so far, not that we're better people, a better opportunity to look. This is going to sound like it's a bad way of putting it, but looking down on all of them, and I'll explain in a second, to get a better perspective on what so many of them have got to say. Now, I say look down on them. I mean it in so much as if you were looking down on a table with blueprints spread all over it. I don't mean that we're looking down our noses or anything. I don't want anybody to think that about us.
No, you get a clear picture because, you know, religion says it wants to help humanity, but it makes themselves the center of everything. So, you know, you get a look at humanity without the filter. Because, I mean, religion, even you look at families, they exclude some of their own that don't obey. I mean, even that is, religion makes itself the center of everything.
Yeah, which is something that...
It corrupts human relations.
In a lot of ways, yeah. And the sad part of it is, Tech, I want to come over on you, because you've got the internals for Judaism more than any of the rest of us. As I've understood it, and I've heard from some people who have said, generally speaking, again, very, very broadly generally speaking, because even with Judaism, there are a lot of different sects and denominations, so to speak. Generally speaking, as I've understood it, Jews basically just, yeah, we've got what we're doing, just, you know, let us do our thing, and, you know, you go do whatever you're doing. You know, I'm good. And that seems to be more the rule than the exception to me. Would that be a fair assessment from what you've seen?
One of the things that I picked up from the Jewish culture that was instilled through my mother's side of the family and the things that I read and things I observed, because I didn't, the neighborhood that I grew up in was not Jewish. I think we were the only Jews on the block. You know, we were not in that section of New York.
Damn, there's a boy band joke in there somewhere. I'm just not gonna make it.
Any
family was the Hoopers.
We lived across the street from the only black family on the block. Luckily, we were friends. We didn't go around really, you know, trying to get people to see the Jewish way of life. We didn't demand considerations of others for ourselves. We didn't expect people to automatically know what Hanukkah was, you know? Like, when you go into a store during December and people wish you a Merry Christmas and you look at them, Happy Hanukkah, they're like, huh? I'm a Christian. It's like, okay, I'm not, you know, and I did that one year. I actually did that when I worked in retail. I was just so fed up with all the Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas crap. And it wasn't even Thanksgiving yet. I just turned around and I said, Happy Hanukkah. And they're like, I'm not Jewish. And I said, that's okay. I'm not Christian. What's your point? And they got very upset with me.
Just answer Hare Krishna.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, I mean, now, if you are Jewish and you're Orthodox Jewish and you're hanging around other Orthodox Jews, then there are expectations of you, of your behavior, of your dedication to the religion and everything else. And if you're stepping out of line, those other Orthodox Jews will come and go, hey, you know, calm down or do this or whatever. You're falling behind or whatever. Do you need help? Do you need support? There is something in the Jewish culture. Okay. Some of it stems from the religion, but the Jewish culture itself, there is a lot of support, especially within families. You as a family, take a whole Jewish family, let's say two parents and three kids, and the kids are grown up and adults and all having arguments, they're all fighting and everything else. And suddenly, let's say the youngest is in problems. You know, maybe their business fell apart, or they had a car accident that wasn't their fault, but the medical bills are piling up, or they've been injured and they need somebody to help them around the house or something. It doesn't matter how much they're hated in their own family will show up and help them. Because that's part of the Jewish culture.
I'd like to see that spread to all of humanity.
Yes.
Yeah. that's one of the few things that I'd out there that is something I would like to pull and share.
It's a closed system. I'm a bit disappointed in that.
Well, there are people out there who are Jewish who do tell people about it. They do invite people to Jewish events. For example, Sujan, you're obviously not Jewish. And let's say I was going to temple. Let's say I got back into the religion and I was going to temple.
Wait a minute. Time out. Wait a minute. There's only one way that you would be able to tell for certain. And we're not allowed to do that on this show.
I'm glad I'm not the only one whose mind went there.
That's no longer true because a lot of hospitals will actually encourage circumcision by default, regardless of the religion of the child.
I realize that, but still, my brain still went there.
And it's been going on for a long time. Anyway, let's just put it this way. Let's assume for a moment that you're not Jewish in any way, shape, or form. Let's say that I assume that I went back to the religion. I started practicing it. I went to temple. I went to synagogue, whatever's available. And I invited Sujan along. He decided to come along. He could show respect to the religious building and the religious people that I'm hanging out with by putting on the Jewish headgear called the yarmulke. And even though he's not a believer, that little sign of respect would earn him respect amongst all the people there.
Right.
And they would respect that he's not Jewish. And if he had questions, they would answer them respectfully. And he could even engage in, as long as he kept it civil and respectful, a religious debate. And once again, they would return that respect to him because that's just how it is with them.
But he wouldn't be allowed to become one of the family, so to speak.
He could actually convert to Judaism. There's process for that without having to go get snipped.
Yeah.
Really?
But you'd have to be happy at a lower...
No, it actually involves... Believe it or not, it actually involves studying.
Well, yeah, but you're at... there's different levels in Judaism.
Joseph, if I really wanted to do this, anything that doesn't involve blood would be fine by me. Okay, keep that in mind for a couple of seconds.
I honestly did not know that there was a snip-free way to convert to Judaism, so that is definitely good to know.
You're really not helping me feel any much better than myself.
There's a lot of snip-free. You have a test to pass.
There are groups out there called Reform Jews. They eat bacon.
Right. Cool.
Wait, turkey bacon?
No. Pork bacon.
And I would separate the religious aspect of it from the cultural aspect of it because they do that themselves. Actually, Israel is one of the most secular nations, and the number of non-practicing Jews in Israel is actually more than the non-practicing Christians in the United States.
Yeah, and I will point out to those viewers watching and listening, they have some really good food.
There's that. So, oh God, I'm trying really hard to keep our 13 rating right about now. I know it's self-imposed, but damn it, there's so many things that are running through my head right now, and okay, Jake, I'm sorry. I understand now. Okay, I get it. I'm sorry. A little bit. I'm sorry. Just a little bit.
And if there's any 13-year-olds actually watching, go to bed.
Well, unless you're watching this in the future. If you're watching this in the future, then it might not actually be bedtime, too.
That does beg the question. If we're on air during prime time, why do we have a PG-13 rating?
We're not on during prime time. We're what would otherwise be called safe haven.
Late night.
Prime time for Joey.
We're on the air at the time in Canada they would allow it to program.
I know. I was going to say, this is like if I was to go to like Channel 21 right now on cable, there would be softcore porn playing.
Okay, so let me...
I'm moving to Canada. Who wants to help me?
here in France, a soft corn pont, they call that the news.
I was going to say, that's like 24/7, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I really love watching the Mexican weather channels.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about that, probably.
Could be. All right, so let me go ahead and explain it. There's two pieces about this. One, the time slot that I decided to put this into is supposed to be directly against the whole AM coast to coast with whoever the hell it was. Was it Art Bell? I don't even remember who that freaking was that was doing it. But that kind of overnight AM conspiracy theory, I saw Bigfoot and he shagged me all night long and it was glorious kind of crap. I want to be specifically and exclusively directly against that kind of show. That's the reason why I decided to pick the time slot that we've got. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I know it's a pain in the ass. I know it's a pain in the ass getting people to come on because it's so late. I know. But, you know, there's a reason for doing it this way. Now,
not
why...
If this was a morning show and people are listening while they drive to work.
That'd be good.
Well, yeah. But that's part of the reason why we turn it into a podcast afterwards, eventually. It's been a little bit slow going, I know. But why the self-imposed 13 rating? Well, basically because I think that what we've got is important enough that someone who is of a 13-year age or older... Someone who has got the, arguably at that point, has got a, you know, the capacity for understanding these concepts to really start mulling it over in their head and really get a good feel for how critical thinking really is operating, they would be in a better position of being allowed to see us, with the exception of every 10th episode, really. And if they like it, they can come back to it. And when they hit 16 or whatever, they can do everything and everything that they want to do and not have their parents really give them a hard time. Yeah, really? Joey, you want to go with that, don't you?
I did actually have a cough there a moment, but I was going to say 13 years old and you're worried about the language they hear on this show?
Yeah. Okay.
You obviously haven't gotten out of your house much.
Oh. let's go ahead and talk
that
about my
self-imposed.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about my daughter for a couple of seconds.
Oh dear.
My daughter turned 13 this year. Teenager. Mm-hmm. Beautiful person. And I have not shied away from her hearing pretty much anything. Joey, perfect example. Who have I allowed her to listen to in the past?
Oh dear, Matt Davis.
Yes.
George Carlin?
No.
Matt Davis, better known to his inner circle as To the Renting Griffin. And you want to talk about some vulgarity.
You should let her listen to Carlin, man.
Eventually, yes, I will certainly see about that.
Eventually.
Do you know the show Very Bad Wizards?
Isn't that a sports team?
No,
it's a porn.
It's a podcast done by a couple of philosophy students, and the presentation for the show is done by the guy's daughter, and she actually gives the PG 13 warning for the show.
There you go. Well, anyway, as far as To the Renting Griffin is concerned, he has joked about on many an occasion various different things. One of his video albums is called Three Cheese Baby, which is a reference to, baby eating. Because as a griffin, you know, you need your meat. You want to have your meat to eat. And, you know, babies are tender. And, you know, cheese is good, so you just put it all together. It's beautiful. It's delicious.
Well, the idea behind it was a bit of mockery with the typical dinner in a box, the hamburger helper kind of thing. So it's It's supposed to be like Baby Helper, Three Cheese Baby.
Baby Helper.
So, like I said, I have not shied away from her hearing anything. But as a responsible parent, I have also taught her a couple of things. Item one is, we cannot control what other people say or think. We can only control our own selves and how we react to how everybody else talks. Which also means we have the responsibility to understand what it is that they're trying to get across. And at the risk of, you know, the screwing the 13, whatever, there's a big difference between using the term fuck as a pejorative versus using it as an accent. That's a fucking sweet apple. You can go ahead and you can do that, and people will understand exactly what you're talking about. But if you go ahead and you say, that guy's a fuck, as Carlin would put it, you know full well there's a big difference in what's being said, but it's the same word. Is she going to go ahead and use that terminology? No. No, she's not. What does she get away with saying at this point? Crap. Okay, you know, innocuous enough. Jesus. Okay, you know, you're surprised. That'll come out. Okay, that's fine. Will I let her get away with damn, Eve, goddamn? Yeah, probably. Because, you know, even Archie Bunker said there's nothing wrong with it. Go back and watch Archie, All in the Family. See, my head, all of a sudden I was thinking Archie's Place. No, that's not it. But it's all a matter of personal responsibility and language. So, you know what? I don't even know where the hell I was going anymore. So screw it. Beth is reminding us, by the way, it was Art Bell originally had that Coast to Coast AM. Now it's George Noory? Noory.
Noory.
Noory. Newbie.
We have a village that's spelled N-E-W-R-Y.
You've also
Newbie.
Yeah, you guys have also got one up there in Canada that's I don't remember how it's spelled, but it's pronounced Shibugaboo. So you know I don't even remember where the hell it is.
But we also have Vulcan. Which
I don't want to hear a darn thing.
Hold on a second. I see your Vulcan, and I match you with Romulus, New York.
Yes, okay. Got you there, definitely.
I don't want to hear a darn thing until any of you can pronounce any of the town names in Welsh.
Nope. Big old fat nope. Big old fat nope.
You want to talk about a challenge?
But we also, I mean, okay, the Vulcan and Romulus is pretty even, but we also have a dildo Newfoundland.
It's not Montana.
You know what, heretic woman?
Yes.
We have a Hulk. Okay, so, you know.
Yes. With dildo.
Hey. Which is also appropriate.
If you go,
you know what else we have?
What?
We have
me.
Hi, everybody.
If Hello. You go out in the middle of Mojave County, Arizona, you will come to a lovely little township appropriately titled Nothing, Arizona.
Nice.
I will move there.
There is one building. It's kind of a truck stop thing, but that's it. And it's considered a township.
Wow.
And if you move there, you'll spoil the reputation.
No, you don't understand. I want to move there, like set up a little trailer and house and everything else, just so I can screw up my ex.
Yeah.
How?
Well, when I give her the address.
Change your name to nobody and move to nowhere.
Exactly.
There we go. That makes sense. So, I don't know. I mean, I could throw something else out there for everybody, but that's just because I'm the host and I've got control over everything. So I figured, yeah, I should really not do that because I got something that came through my news feeds on my phone earlier today that I will admit pissed me. You know what? Screw it. We've already blown. Pissed me the fuck off today.
This show's officially rated R, folks. You will hear words such as shit, damn, and or fuck. Have a nice day.
What is this or business, motherfucker?
And or.
Does this mean I get to bring out the water bottle now?
No.
You do it anyway.
You need a bigger one.
There's always next year.
There's a running joke that I would have to drag my roommate in here to go for, but there's a string of towns along this one highway in Michigan, and there's just this continuous string of one-liners. Like, you have to go... You've got Big Beaver and on the exit of 69, and then you have to go through... you have to go through hell to get to paradise, and there's tons of them, and she's got them all known by heart. I can't possibly attempt to do it because I'm from Ohio.
Okay, now that we've digressed, go ahead, Sujin.
Nope. Go ahead.
There's a place called Beaver Lick Falls somewhere too.
Yeah. We know you guys like to eat your fish.
Yeah. Oh, and in Newfoundland, they also, besides having Delta, they also have Conception Bay.
Well, in Newfoundland.
Oh, and another place called Come by Chance,
it's Newfoundland. They kind of need it.
True that. Very true.
They ain't got much else.
Conception Bay sounds like somebody was a little too enthusiastic.
Yeah. Just probably.
One red spot right there. That's what it comes down to. You're welcome.
However, there were two things that got brought up in the news feed here recently that tickled something in the back of my brain, and I wanted to kind of discuss them on the show last night, but I wasn't able to because things
were weird last night.
Yeah,
Star Trek.
But I'm going to bring them up now, and the first one I'm going to have to look at you, Joseph.
Uh oh.
maybe you know about this. Maybe you don't. I'm going to read this article real quick, and you tell me when it. You know, when you
evolved into Friday night.
Well, hold on. Homeless man screams in horror as people run away with his dog.
Aww.
And what did she say?
We didn't do this last night.
Never mind.
Disturbing footage has emerged showing members of a French animal welfare group accosting a homeless man who struggles in vain as they run off with his canine companion. Activists from Cause Animal Nord, including the group's president, Anthony Blancard, instigated the shocking incident, which occurred last week in Paris. The video shows activists snatching the little dog from her owner before handing her off to another member who races off down the street. The homeless man, wailing in desperation, briefly grapples with Blancard to try to stop the theft. He then abandons his few possessions to give chase but is unable to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where it starts to get... really aggravating. Because as if that was not aggravating enough, their claim, quote, to justify this act of extreme violence, they allege that the homeless person is a Roma,
mm-hmm.
and that the animal was being drugged, that it hadn't been vaccinated or had ID and was malnourished. Now, the ID, yeah, but the malnourishment, the abuse, the being kind of drugged?
Overstepping in all directions because the people who stole the dog have good intentions, but...
No. They did not have good intentions. This was publicity because they literally did it in front of a crowd. They did it in front of a crowd. They then turned around and sold the dog up for adoption for £185 or something like that, and renamed it Vegan, quote, to reflect our ideals.
Okay,
yeah, that's what I mean by overstepping. I mean, that's...
That goes beyond overstepping. That's a total dick move.
That's just dick, yeah. Because they're... if you know how it is here, you'll see often people in the street using animals as donation bait. And these animals are abused, but how can they say that that particular case was that, you know?
Exactly.
They're making an assumption. Yeah, there's so much wrong with that.
And there's so many homeless people that have companions like that, that might be like their only friend on earth. Like,
pretty much. And to be fair, this was kind of blatantly racist. I mean, they targeted this guy because he is a Roma. A gypsy.
Yeah. And now I have had some really nasty run-ins with gypsies. But, you know, obviously this guy seemed to really care for the animal. Like, that's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's like just taking a blank, it's making a blanket assumption, you know, because there are the Roms here. It is a problem. And that's not being dealt with correctly. I mean, anyways, yeah, it's between a lot of problems. It's not a solution what they did, anyways.
Yeah. And Katie, you've exactly got it right for what I was just thinking of too.
She's probably chiming
in here. Quote: sounds like a PETA equivalent, so that everybody understands where we're coming from. PETA stands for the people for the people ethical treatment of thank you.
Animals. Yes.
God damn it, Jake. I understand now. I'm so sorry. People for the ethical treatment of animals.
I personally prefer their counterpoint, the people for the eating of tasty animals.
I do too.
Yes.
In fact, what was the name of the French group again?
I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it in French again. I think it's like, you know, Animal Cause North or something like that.
Cause d'Animal Noir?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Okay, well, Cause d'Animal Noir, in your honor, I'm going to go and have some nice bacon when we're done.
Obviously, they're not quite like PETA because, you know, they're okay with actually selling the dog and, establishing ownership on it.
Oh,
I don't understand the selling part because, you know, actually, my mother, she saves animals from the SPA. Who are SPCA, there? I don't know what it is there anymore.
Heretic woman, I was just thinking to myself, wouldn't it be just absolutely wonderfully ironic to have a brand of bacon called, I'm trying to remember because I didn't read the book and I saw the cartoon a while ago. It was some bacon.
Yes.
Okay, good. The reference actually worked, right? I got it right? Some bacon.
I'm not getting it.
Well, if I were to say some pig, would that ring a bell then?
Is that something like cream of some guy?
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Of course, then that brings up something to mind that just I can't help but giggle. It's who here has heard of robot chicken?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. There's a particular skit where they're making fun of the original series for Star Trek, and it's Kirk O'Hara, McCoy, you know, the primary cast gets teleported down to a planet, and there's one red shirt with him, and they get stranded, and they start talking about eating each other. And, you know, they all start looking at the red shirt and say, you know, it is your duty. And he stands up and he's like, it makes me very, in honor of all the red shirts that have fallen before me, it makes me very proud to speak the following sentence. I'm the only one that brought a gun. And then all you hear, you know, fades to black, you hear the zapping, and then he's sitting there around a campfire with, you know, all this meat around him. He's chewing on a what looks like a thigh, and he's like, that's good ham.
Wow. Shots across the bow of the toupee right there.
Shots across the bow, nothing. Wow. That was a direct shot to the engines.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Awesome.
Oh God! But
yeah, actually, they should make a brand pita bacon. I would totally eat.
They'll
that.
Be able to. They will actually make a pita bacon because they found a seaweed. When you cook it, it tastes exactly like bacon.
No, because it's a living thing.
They probably sue you for like copyright infringement or some crap, but I would totally do that.
In all honesty, though, if these people were truly concerned about the animal, what they would have done is they would have what they could have done.
How about shown
true caring? They could have approached the owner and said, "Listen, concerned about the welfare of your animal, we're concerned that your animal has not had the proper vaccinations and the licensing that your animal needs. We obviously don't see a collar. We're concerned about the nutrition, so we'd like to take you and your animal to the local vet, have the animal vaccinated, have the animal have a checkup, check for malnourishment, what kind of nutrition or supplements the dog would need, and then get your dog registered, get your dog shipped in case your dog ever runs away, take you over to the local pet store, get you some non-perishable supplies and a leash and everything else. And that's what they would do if they
even
gave a
damn. Just here's a bag of dog food. Have a nice day.
Completely aside from that, France, just as much as the U.S. or Canada, France has the channels and the protocols for investigating animal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
There are proper channels to go through on this. These people did not observe any of these. They literally walked up to the guy, pushed him aside, held him to the side, grabbed his dog. You could hear the dog's, you know, the dog was fine up until these people showed up, and then you hear the dog, you know, yelping, screaming, and the guy runs off with the freaking dog, and this guy is just trying to get his dog back. He's just, you know,
his friend.
The scream he has is
we don't know
absolute desperation.
Yeah.
You know what?
And why didn't they buy the dog from the homeless person directly?
That's a good point, too. Yeah. I mean, if they think that he doesn't care about the dog and that it's all about making money, then offer him a good chunk of change for the dog. And you know, if he really didn't care about the dog and he just wanted money, then he would have taken the money.
Oh, by default, we should always give somebody a chance to reason. And there's no reason in that. It's just like it's a pure emotion.
They were being thugs, plain and simple.
No.
There's a different piece of this. It was being a liberation army, and I'm making a direct analogy to the. Oh God, I forget what it was called, but way back in the day, Bloom County had done a thing where Opus went to try to get his mom, who was being held by the Mary Kay Company. And also got captured, and it was the something liberation organization, whatever the hell it was. And they were getting the bunnies and the penguins and everybody else out of there. Mm-hmm. I'm making reference to what was effectively a joke, but it wasn't a joke.
No,
because,
it wasn't.
You know, there were groups that were doing this. Now I wanna draw this back out a little bit further because there's a piece of this that is much more relevant as a broader scope. This type of guerrilla activism, and I'm going to use that terminology because that's the only way that I can think of it. You've got this particular situation where an animal was stolen. There's no other way of putting it. There are the Planned Parenthood locations that have their windows broken into on a semi-weekly basis, which means twice a week or more in some cases, where people who are trying to go into them are being accosted with yelling and screaming and bullhorns and photos of horrific pictures. And I'm not even going to go into it because really you don't need to know any further than if you really want to find out about it, you can, but I'm going to highly advise, pretty much all of us would say, if you don't already know what these pictures are, don't go looking them up. Seriously.
And they don't normally depict what they claim they're depicting anyway.
Right. And
kind of like the videos of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, that was going to be the next thing. Yeah. But this kind of guerrilla activism, which is a different thing than the guerrilla activism on Wikipedia, totally different animal. Forgive me for using the terminology, because there is something that's going by that same name. But going out there with the idea of doing some kind of, I want to say harm, but the people who are doing it don't think that they're doing that. Doing something physical that has a physical consequence. We'll call it that for a second, even though it's muddying the water, I'm sorry. There are times when this is a necessary thing. I will admit that. There are times when you really, really, really shouldn't be doing it. And that would be easily 95%+ of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing somebody's companion is a bad idea. Really. It doesn't matter what country it's in. That's bad form. It really, really is. And it doesn't matter what it is.
How do they get away with that not being considered theft? Because in most places, as much as we tend to value our animals, they're generally considered property. So how could they get away?
Joey?
Yeah, any more?
Yeah, that mute thing right there.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Nothing really as of yet. I mean, there's commentary on it, but as far as like a legal sense goes, I don't see anything that's actually going on with it.
Okay.
Now, when did this come out? Was it just yesterday? Or?
No, it was last week. Hold on.
So there should be a follow-up.
This article in particular was posted last, what, Friday? No. Mm-hmm. Last Thursday.
Especially if
there's bound to be some follow-up on it, because there is actually a petition going around.
Okay.
Because I mean, if they have less emotional value, so it's less likely to make the news.
Well, there's a petition going around, internet-based. You know, people, you know, pretty much saying, give the man his dog back.
And, like, especially if they're bragging about having sold it for money, like, that's pretty crass and ballsy to say, yeah.
I don't understand
this.
How could they justify selling it?
Well, I think what they're doing is saying, well, we rehomed the dog, and we're proving it was a good home because the person paid money for it, I think is the idea behind that.
Or maybe they're trying to justify the real costs of the vaccination and everything that was needed.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably the angle they're going to use, but I'm sorry, that just sounds so unreal. Like, I'm going to steal something and then sell it for money, even though it's not actually yours, and then get away with it because you're totally. It's like it, you know, you could. It's almost like in the 19th and early 20th century, which happened here in Canada, where missionaries were literally going to Aboriginal, I guess, reserves at that time, and literally stealing Aboriginal children taking them to residential schools and saying, well, it's really better for you, so we're going to make sure that you get raised with Jeebus and you're not going to be like some barbarian out on the in the woods. So, you know, even though you're completely miserable and we're going to beat the crap out of you and probably sexually abuse you, it's still a lot better than being, you know, native.
I just saw a movie about that recently. Mm-hmm. But for me, this thing is kind of, it's like, it describes in a way the ills of groupthink, because, yeah, you know, once you become a gang, you lose sight of the original reason why you're a gang in the first place. So like these people, there's no reason in what they're doing. They're doing something, they're almost advertising for their own quote unquote cause. And they're persuaded that they're doing right, but you know, they've lost sight of the reason in what they're doing. So, and that comes out in circumstances like these.
Yeah, and Heretic Woman, as a matter of fact, you actually, as much as I say don't lead the bit, you actually led right into where I was, the reason why I was trying to pull it back into a broader sense. It's exactly the place where I wanted to get to, because that's exactly the same kind of thing. Only it's a much more, the only word I can think of is gross, example of elitism, exceptionalism, of thinking I know better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and that
go ahead.
It's one of the things that we're most embarrassed about here in Canada. There are, you know, hundreds of thousands of children that had that happen to them for no other reason, and no one ever went to these reserves and studied the lifestyle and made any attempt to understand what the culture was about or anything. It was, oh, well, you're not Christian and you live in the woods. Oh, well, we're going to take your children because they're obviously better off with our way of life, which
they
is
do operate like the mafia there. It's pretty horrible.
Absolutely.
And there are anthropologists that try to study the Indian way of life, but Indians laugh at them.
Well, yeah, because they're not really trying to understand, I don't think. They're just there to...
They're looking at it from a white man perspective.
Yeah, they're looking at the native culture almost like going to the zoo, you know? It's
like that, yeah.
It is. And there's... I was going to say, Joseph, do you know what the movie was you saw? Because there's one that I remember seeing actually as a teenager in high school that angered me like you wouldn't believe. I don't know if that
This one that came out. Okay, I'll look it up. No, it was modern. Just give me a second. I'll look it up.
Okay. Well, the one that I saw was called Where the Spirit Lives, and it was from the 80s. That's what educated me. But anyway.
Yeah, and while you're looking that up, there's this kind of thing has happened throughout history, all over the world at different times. I mean, we've heard about this from Native Americans here that the United States government has done that too. The Canadian government has done it with the. What is the proper term that you guys have settled on? Was it
First Nations?
First Nations, there it is. The Aboriginal people in Australia have also had that happen. It's sad. It's simply gross, the amount of disinterest in the human. How do I really see the problem of it is it is so amazingly huge that it's hard for me to even wrap my head around how to really describe it properly, because you can't say society, because society is all of us, one would think. You can't call it any one particular group, because I don't know what the English term would be for it. It's one of those things that rattle in my head. Joseph, did you end up coming up with that title,
no,
by the way?
No, I'm still looking, sorry.
Of course you didn't, because, I mean, why would I expect you to come up with a pain in the ass right about now? To kind of clarify part of the point as far as to how the incorporation does or does not work, perfect example. Tech, where you live down there in Maryland way, how hard would it be for you to throw a rock and come up with a town or a village or a city nearby that isn't based off of a Native American name for an area?
Relatively easy.
It's not like New York.
Here's an idea. Let's say I travel down to, Lexington Park. I can throw a stone and reach California, Maryland. It's named after a state. Or if I go to California, Maryland, I can throw a stone and go to and that'll reach Mechanicsville. I can throw another stone from Mechanicsville and reach Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. The originality of the names in this area are not that high.
I'd like to see a town.
And there's a lot of streets named after flowers and birds and some fish.
And what about Native American terms? I gotta believe that a lot of places over there directly Native American named. No.
Right.
Not that you can think of off the top of your head.
No, there's nothing that really stands out. I mean, there's a town called Solomon's Island. There's a town called Lusby. There's a town called Prince Frederick. There's Hughesville. There's Waldorf.
But nothing obviously Native American in origin, it would sound. That's standing out for you at the moment.
Nah, not really, man.
Okay. All right, that's fine. See, for where I grew up on Long Island, so that people understand, I grew up in West Babylon, which if you were looking on Long Island, which looks like a fish, actually, if you look on the, I gotta remember where I am, it looks like a fish, where you've got the tail all the way on one side, obviously enough, which is headed out to the east, which has got a top and a bottom, which is Orient Point on the north and Montauk Point on the south. Montauk is a Native American name, mm-hmm. just as Wantagh, Quag, Copeg, if I remember right, Shinnecock Bay. There are a number of places like that, because Long Island was populated by a lot of the Native American tribes. And then, of course, the Dutch came over and, well, you know, all bets were off at that point because, well, why the hell would we want to go with that? But the idea of taking the young in order to incorporate them into the new overlord's regime, shall we say, is unfortunately not a new one. It's happened time and time and time again. Beth, who is watching it over here, and wow. By the way, Beth, hi. Thank you so much. Holy crap. Did you throw a lot of stuff over here? And see, this is the thing. As much as I try really hard to be able to pronounce things correctly the first time, names especially, because I feel like it's a pride thing for me, but a respect thing. So many of these I am looking at, and I know full well I won't be able to pronounce them correctly the first time out, but a couple of samples on here. Algonquin, named after the Algonquin peoples. That one I'm familiar with. If I remember right, there is a large section of that here in New York State that kind of got used to. Assateague, I believe is how one of them is pronounced.
That looks about right.
Yeah, that should be. There's a lot of them. But the important part of it is these are the peoples who were here. They weren't lost tribes, as some Mormons would like to go ahead and present to you.
Yeah, no. Israelites involved, I'm sorry to say.
No submarines, yeah. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, yeah. Listen to Frank and Dan. Over at,
no magic rock lights or anything like that. Nope.
But the idea of take the young and teach them, retrain them. We've heard this one before in the past. And, oh, shoot, I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it Francis of Assisi that had said, give me a child until he's seven and I will bring you the man?
Something, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It, when you start to take it into the account of what happened in societies throughout time, that's a chilling idea.
Steal
away the innocence, the innocent, and train them effectively to be part of your new society. You don't have to train them to be God warriors. And yes, I'm making a direct reference to what was it called? Jesus Camp? Was the name of that movie?
Yeah.
It's all about indoctrination.
Yep.
And deciding for other people.
Yeah, which is terribly, terribly chilling and scary, and oh my God, I can't believe some of these things. That's one of the things that we don't want to do, and I don't think I'm out of line in saying I speak for pretty much all of us, and not speaking as atheists, but speaking as just humans, not even humanists, just humans. Why the hell would I want somebody to take me away from my family and teach me something new because I look different, I took a different language, I've got a different way of doing things, I like to fly kites on Thursday instead of Sunday, whatever the hell it is. I mean,
And it wasn't just teaching them a different way, but they were taught that their own culture was evil. Like, they were forbidden to speak their own language. They were beaten if they tried to speak their own language. If they tried to... the movie that I saw, I think, was fictional, but based on stories. And one of the children had died, and the child's best friend wanted to do a mourning ritual. And she felt that, you know, her friend's soul would never get to the Great Spirit if she didn't do this. And they beat her mercilessly for, and all it was smudging, you know, and just like little things like that. I mean, you know, I think religion is ridiculous, but I'm not going to beat a child because they want to mourn their friend and the only way they know how. Is just unreal. And that was the big crux of it, was not just, hey, our way is better, but your way is evil.
It hurts.
Yeah. That movie infuriated me, and I must have seen it when I was 14 or 15 years old. And I actually went and found it online just last year, actually. I went and found it again, and it still pissed me the hell off to watch. But it's definitely an eye opener for sure, because we were taught, you know, at least when I was a kid, that, oh, well, you know, it was, they were being taught to be Christians, and that was a good thing, and it was beneficial, and all of that. And what a crock, let me tell you.
Yeah. I mean, we can kind of bring this a lot closer to home. Joey, you know your military history too. Japan, they, let's call it, imported women from what was it, South Korea during World War II?
Oh, South Korea, Manchuria, all the territories that they controlled, pretty much.
And even till this day, or at least fairly recently, they're still apologizing because it was such a heinous thing. They had comfort women was the euphemism that they used.
They're not apologizing.
No, no.
They, yeah, they won't.
The government had apologized.
Yeah, but it wasn't to their satisfaction. It was kind of like a half apology.
Yeah, well, I'm also not a firm believer in the idea that, you know, you should be held accountable for, you know, what your predecessors had done.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you don't learn from their mistakes.
If you're doing the same shit, then yeah. But if you're not, yeah. if you've learned your lesson and you stop doing that crap, I don't see the point of holding somebody like that accountable.
Well, what they were seeing, though, I mean, I remember recently there was a group of some of these women and I think some of their children who wanted to go back to Korea and meet with the families that they'd never known. And there was a lot of resistance from Japan on that. And the attitude was almost like they were afraid for these families to communicate because they were still trying to foster the image that, well, yeah, we did kind of take them, but, well, look, they're all happy now. It's all good kind of thing. And it's just not like that.
There's a big problem, of course. There's a tightrope that needs to be walked with what Joey just said. Yeah, you don't want to be holding somebody responsible for something they weren't responsible for. I mean, the sins of the father do not follow to the sins of the son, as the expression, I may be twisting it around a little bit. But when you're dealing with government, That ends up being a different animal, unfortunately, because it's its own entity. And then you start to get into the problem of how much, how far do you apologize? Up until what point? What is it that you need to do in order to atone?
Yeah.
And we've got here in the U.S., we've got, let's call it what it is, slavery for people who were brought over improperly is a euphemism for putting it. In chains would be much more accurate. Those that were lucky enough, if you will, to survive the trip across from Africa because, well, wrong place, wrong time, a lot of iron and, you know, whatever. How much can you apologize there? And at what point have you fulfilled that I'm sorry? Same thing with the Native Americans with their children being taken, or the anywhere like that. The Armenians, if I remember right, with France, how much could France apologize for what was done for them, or Japan apologize to forget everybody else, the U.S. to Japan for nuking the place? I mean, there's plenty of blood to go around.
Immigrants.
And there it is.
There is. I think. Well, as Joey said, you know, if you haven't learned your lesson, then yeah, you need to get, you know, spanked over it continuously until you do. There's also, though, like you said, with government, there has to be a show of accountability. So in instances where there has been decades and sometimes generations of denial, even though those present may have had nothing to do with it, I think it's important from a government standpoint to stand up and say, yeah, we, and since we've blown it already, yes, we fucked up. We are now the representatives of those who did the fucking up, and we're going to try our best to rectify that. So where you get things like apologies and reparation payments and things like that. I think those are good things. I think in a lot of cases, those really do need to happen. But you're right, there does come a point where, you know, belaboring the issue becomes a detriment to those who are feeling like they were wronged. And I don't know, it's a tough thing, though, because I know in Canada, our First Nations people are in such, you know, dire straits in many, many places, and that's a direct result of how our ancestors treated them. And people can argue, well, they want to be that. Like, there's a whole argument around that, and I get that, whatever. But the crux of the matter is that their culture would not be struggling the way it is if we hadn't fucked them over in the first place. So while we who are here now are not directly responsible for that, there has to be some acknowledgement of that still, though, I think. So it's a really fine line.
And the question becomes, how long do you have to do this for? When can you just say, listen, a lot of human history has people doing wrong things to other people, not the non-humanist approach. They're doing it in the name of religion. They're doing it in the name of discovery. They're doing it in the name of whatever the hell they're doing it in the name of.
Yeah. You
know, for whatever the reasons, they did it. It wasn't right. It's long past. We have it documented. Yeah. We teach our current children about it so that we don't repeat these things. How long do we have to continue to drill ourselves on this? As long as we remember not to repeat these things, how long do we have to stand here and apologize?
I think you're right.
Because if I go to Germany, I have a Jewish background, okay? If I go to Russia, okay, what they did to my mother's side of the family, okay, I do not expect them to come in front of me and kneel down and apologize.
Yeah.
Because the people who are currently alive, they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a piece about this I want to make sure that I wrap us on with this, and we're getting close to the end of it all. Heretic Woman, if you've got a real quick last point to drop onto that one, then I want to get both of the Joes to close us out on this one.
And I think he's right that there does come a point where we have to say, okay, look, you know, bad shit happened and you didn't do it, and there has to be some letting go. And I think that if we can manage it at a level of acknowledgement and then moving on. And I think that there's a lot of cultures that aren't at that point that maybe ought to be. And the unfortunate thing is, as soon as you kind of make that suggestion, you're eaten alive because it's like you're diminishing the bad thing that happened. And I don't think you are. I think it's a way of transcending the bad thing that happened. If you can say, yep, that happened, it really sucked, and you know what, that wasn't you, it wasn't me, so let's shake hands and move on.
Joseph?
At least, excuse me, you have to show some understanding of the past.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as people are whitewashing it or looking at it through... Well, if you want to go back to Native Americans, like, you know, white people tend to look at it through their perspective of taking Native American land as if land ownership was a concept even in Native American culture. And it wasn't. I mean, nobody owned the land. You moved with the herd animals.
And
so what the white people did, it wasn't taking their land. It was just entirely removing their way of life. They weren't able to live as they did before.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
And so I think,
owning land, it's so, I think it's from, well, kind of a cliche example is Dances with Wolves, where he's having the conversation with one of the Indians, and the Indians are like, okay, You want to sell the land? What are you going to sell next? The sky?
Yeah.
So this is totally alien to the quote unquote white way of thinking, and yeah. they have to know, they have to learn about that.
And what you were saying too about whitewashing, you know, like even as recent as when I was a kid, being taught that the whole thing was for the benefit of First Nations people, which is total crap.
As if your way of life is better.
Exactly. And that's the kind of crap that needs to stop. And I think
arrogant.
It is. And the cultures that are impacted by the past are going to have a harder time moving beyond that, the more that we perpetuate that kind of bullshit. And being that, you know, that was only 30 years ago that people were still saying that tells us that there's a ways to go yet.
And there's a problem when, you know, the new culture can't, they have no argument to reason the mm-hmm. old culture into adopting their ways. They have no argument, so they have to use methods like beating them and indoctrinating them. And that means there's something wrong with the new culture, too.
That's right.
Okay. Joey, you get your chance to cap off on these pieces. I know very likely for you, it's probably a lot of it's already gone through, but
it's like I was saying earlier, and I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked because I was talking to somebody.
Not the first time that's happened. Well,
we're a popular show, apparently.
You say that.
In any case, it's like I said before, it doesn't make sense to be holding somebody responsible for something that their predecessor had done. Now, when you get into a government thing, if the government is doing the same stuff, then yeah, you know, kind of time to put boot to ass. But yeah, I can see how, you know, a government that, you know, in the past had done something pretty terrible, currently could go and say, we'd like to try to make up for that. But it, again, should not be something that should be forced. It should not be compulsory. It should be something where, you know, they put forth the gesture. Otherwise, what's the meaning behind it?
Fair enough. And Tech, even though you had the piece before, is there a real quick pin you want to put on that?
You know, you hear so many people say, how do I want to put this? That you should feel bad because of your background or who you are, what gender you are, what race you are, you know what? I'm a humanist. I don't feel bad about who I am. Okay? Do I have ancestors who probably did not so good things? Pretty sure almost everybody does. We're all human. If you have a mouth and a need, there's no true innocence in that respect. But how you treat other people should be what counts. What you do now, what you do set out to do in the future from now, that's what matters. Retain the past as a guide, but don't dwell on it so much that that's all your future is the past.
There you go. Now, where do I want to cap it off with? Bad stuff has happened. There's no getting around that. It's simply the nature of the beast. We've seen it far too many times to ignore it, to disassociate from it. You can't keep stuff gone anymore, for one thing. Not in this day and age. But what do you do when you're dealing with a situation for a huge beast that is a government that's done bad, and they all have? How far along do you go with apologizing or doing? There's two answers. The first one is Should you keep doing it? You should always acknowledge it. Somehow or other, every once in a while, on a regular basis, you should, as a governmental agency that's in charge of the well-being of a bunch of people, you should have something that reminds people, yeah, this happened. And, yeah, we as the governmental body were responsible for it. But you're part of our government. You're part of your government. You should always remember that this happened, and you should always remember you should never allow this to happen again. You should always do that. That's what the whole purpose of it should be for. You acknowledge bad happened, and nobody should allow it to happen again. In the type of democracies that we want to have, that's how it should be. Because I'm part of my government. Theoretically, I'm a small voice in it, and I may not have a lot of power, but I can at least put my word out there. And if my words hold weight, other people will share it, and they on and on and on. And that voice becomes powerful if it's shared with enough people. Now, maybe the wrong voice, maybe the wrong message, but the possibility is out there. And like I said, I trust in people to do the right thing when all is said and done. So I guess that kind of wraps it around that way. But the other half of it is, how long do you do it? There's only one possible answer. Until it's no longer necessary. What determines that? I don't know. I don't know that anybody could possibly answer that. I don't know that somebody can't answer that. That's something that should be left up to the philosophers. We're not them. But as far as I'm concerned, you should keep acknowledging it until there's never a need for it again. And unfortunately, if there's one thing we've learned from human history, there has always been a reason to remind people, don't be a dick. As always, everybody, thank you very much for sticking out with us and seeing what we've got to say. We're not the worst podcast and vlogcast in the world, but we sure as hell ain't going to be setting any records anytime soon. But we still think that all of our positions and all of our perspectives are worthwhile. Thank you for taking the time to listen to all of them. As always, everybody on the panel tonight, thank you for your time. Joseph, good morning. You have yourself a very good Sunday, and take good care of yourself.
You too, sir.
Calls me sir. One of these days I'm going to break you the habit. You know that.
Well, I could call you ma'am.
You could. I'm not going to be upset with it. I'm going to tell you that you're freaking wrong, but I'm not going to be upset with it. Who knows? One of these days maybe I'll dress up in drag or something. I don't know. Tech.
I'd do it. Kindly.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you're a Frenchie, goddamn.
The mustache is a bit of a challenge for the makeup, but
just cover it in foundation. It'll work.
Okay, I'll need a couple buckets.
You know what? I got two words for you. Cesar Romero. We'll talk later. Unrenote Tech, thank you. Have yourself a good morning and sleep tight, finally.
Absolutely.
Well, that was simple enough. Joey? I would like to wish you sleep well. So.
I don't even. It's whatever. It's always fun here.
How about? I hope that you stay well. How's that?
No promises.
Yeah, I know. Heretic woman, take a big deep breath and let's see if you can get it all out in one breath. Oh, that's right. You've got a very large inflation.
Half of the show.
Okay, well, of course, there's Beyond the Trailer Park on Mondays at 9:30, and this week we actually don't have anything planned, so we're just going to wing it. So,
kind of like that. Yeah. Kind of like us tonight. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's the Wing It special. So that's tomorrow night at 9:30 Eastern. And also Monday, which means I will have work to do tonight because we're dropping the next episode of Atheist Apocalypse. And since I put together the visuals for the YouTube offering, yeah, a little busy tomorrow. But yeah, we're dropping, I believe, episode 4. Episode 4, I think.
Or it's 5. Single I can't digits. Remember.
Yeah, it's single digits yet, but it's a new one. And if you were a patron, you'd already have it. But since if you're not, then you can see it on Monday. So, yeah. And I think, of course, my secular savior, mysecularsavior.com. Oh, and Atheist Podcast, Atheist Apocalypse is atheistapocalypse.com. You can find it on Facebook as well. We have a page and all that fun stuff. So,
and when's the next one coming out?
Monday. I did say that, didn't I? I think. Anyway.
You know what you did now.
Have another you croissant. and all of my Twitters are on my lovely scrolling feed here. So those of you who are listening only, that's at Heretic Woman, at Beyond TT Park, and at AA Podcast Show. And I think that's all for now.
Close enough. Screw it. I'm cutting you off at this point, man. You
okay?
This is like a halfway house right about now. You really need to just cut back on everything.
Halfway to where?
Well, so yeah, because you know my next thing is I'm going to be helping Humanist Canada with their YouTube channel. So you know, well,
good luck with that. You know what? I'm just going to have to get a new song written for you. You're in the HOV to hell. How's that?
I think so. Sounds good.
Some people get that
Can I close with a story?
I don't know. I've never had this happen before.
I know. kind of food for thought. Well, but
the smart-ass answer is I'm sure he's able, but am I going to let him?
You know, I really try hard not to be that guy. I really try hard not to be that guy, Heretic Woman. Really? You're going to go ahead and you're going to give me the shit? Really? Fine. You know what, Joseph?
Well, you know.
The floor is yours.
Okay. It's just underlining kind of the white way of thinking. But there's a story when I was doing my anthropology major. Native Americans, they tend to laugh at anthropologists that come to study them. And there was this anthropologist on an Indian reservation that was studying the Native American hunting habits, and she was kind of following the hunting expedition, and they're all walking down the road quietly on the way to the hunting ground, and the anthropologist just kind of felt uncomfortable, so wanted to say something, and she saw that there was a dog walking along with them along the road, and she turns to the Native American next door, and she says, oh, that's a nice dog. What kind of dog is it? And the Native American, he just kind of starts thinking for a bit, and then he turns to her and said, it's a good dog.
I get
yeah,
that.
So, yeah, that's good. I like that. What kind is it? It's the good variety.
It's a good dog.
It's the kind of thing that you need to really kind of just reevaluate the way that you thought about it before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I also happen to be getting to be exceedingly tired, and I think it's about time to just go close up out of this. Plus, there's other stuff to be done yet, and you'll please forgive me. I've been working at my eyes. My eyes have been a little dried out tonight, but be that as it may. So, for those of you that have been hanging the whole time through, thank you very kindly. If you would like to contact us, please, by all means, feel free. You can email the show at podcast@holycrapthevlogcast.com. The website is, of course, holycrapthevlogcast.com. We have not had any of the episodes converted over to audio, so the podcast is stagnant at the moment. We will get back to that as soon as we get some time. Dallin's been on the road, so he's not been able to do. And please remember, the whole thing is on a volunteer basis. He's asked to do so and put forward, so that's the way that works. I have every intention of pressing Joey into work to see about redesigning whatever it is that we're going to use for a logo, because I put stuff that kind of slapped together, and I'm really thinking I should really just knuckle down and say, okay, you know what? People have said they want to help. Okay, good. Sure. Fine. Finally do that, because I don't like to ask for help on anything. Can you tell? Yeah, me. Imagine that. If you'd like to follow the show in all of the places, holycrapthevlogcast.com has got all the pointers, but if you want to go ahead and find it, typically under whatever method you want to find it, Facebook, G+, Twitter, or YouTube, is going to be /holycrapthevlogcast, or on Twitter, holycraptv, just because the name and convention's got to go that way. And if you'd like to leave a voicemail for us, the first actual voicemail message, still waiting for that, you're going to win a prize. Kind of. It's 859-HCTV-554. Again, number 859-4288-554. What you're going to get is, on your deathbed, you're going to achieve total consciousness. So you'll have that going for you. Bill Murray fans are jumping up and down and screaming for joy right about now, and good on you for that. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. In the meantime, I think that pretty well covers it for everything. I'm going to see about getting Sam Mulvey. I'm going to be emailing him tomorrow, because now that Ask an Atheist has already talked about the clock that's been in the news, I want to get him in. I didn't want to bug him before he had done it on his show, so I want to have him on for us now that he's gotten his part done, because I didn't want to step on toes. I'm going to make sure that I've got an outline for myself, because I don't want to forget what it is that I want to have us talk about with this. I don't know if he'll be able to make it for next week. It might be the week after that, but we'll get to that, because there is it's kind of a twofer that I want to do on this, but we'll talk with you guys about that a little bit later. In the meantime, all of you that have been watching, thank you very kindly. Of course, as always, I wish you, on behalf of all of us, the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And of course, for my wife, I love you and I miss you. Matane Fujin, dream of me. Until the next time we get together in a week, thank you all for hanging out with us, and until that next time, night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+ pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.